So moved.
Second, McGuire.
It's been moved in second. Any discussion?
Hello?
Do you have any discussion?
Any discussion?
Maybe you should move the phone closer to...
I hear me do a roll call each time.
Okay, do we have any discussion on the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Do we want to roll call every vote?
We have to.
Should we roll call every vote?
We're supposed to.
Okay, let's get a roll call for this approval.
McGuire?
Aye.
Rizals? Geraldo?
Yes, I can barely hear you, that's what it is.
Michaels?
Here, yes.
Yes.
Approval of the agenda.
Store?
Here, yes.
Cohort?
Yes. We need approval of the minutes for June 5th, 2020.
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Second, McGuire.
This is Chris, and I get second.
Oh, that would be nice.
Okay, it's been moved in second. Any discussion on the minutes? Okay, can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes. Okay, no public participation?
Nope.
Any communication from the committee? Okay, seeing none. We'll go into our county and township motor fuel tax claim for June and July 2020. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion. You take a second.
Made by Michaels. Need a second.
This is Chris, and I can move approval.
Okay, second by Chris.
Yeah, either way.
Okay, discussion.
I'll just note that this is Chris, and I'll just note that there is a couple of very large items on the list.
Which ones, Chris? There's a couple pay estimates on there. Those are our two bridge jobs, the Stark excavating. Actually, there's four of them on there, one in each month. And then the Ileana one is for our oil and chipping. And then the equipment rental is actually the money that we pay to the highway fund out of the county motor fuel tax fund to rent the equipment so that we can move money over into the highway fund out of the motor fuel tax fund. So those are kind of the bigger ones on the county claims for June and July. But yes, we've been doing a lot of work, so we spend money.
The final is on the
Good job.
County Highway 9's final.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to the Regional Planning Commission handout. Did they get a copy?
They were mailed copies, yes. They don't have the updated versions, but Kristen's going to cover all of that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Kristen, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Are we ready for the CARES Act line item?
Yes, we are.
Okay, awesome. So, this is the CARES Act grant agreement, so the contract with us and IDOT and the FTA. You may remember that I presented this in April, our application, rather, to the Highway Committee. Nothing has changed. We were awarded the amount that we had applied for. That should be on the screen there if you're looking at the presentation. So yeah, this is just the contract, and we are looking for approval to execute it. As of right now, we're looking to expend 62% once we do have this executed. So we are going through these funds pretty quickly, but that has to do with increased cost of labor right now, of course, protection measures for COVID, and sick bank being used, which is something that MTD has implemented for all of their employees. So there is no expiration date on the funds, but we're not sure how long they will last anyway. We had originally projected that they will probably last us through the end of the year.
I move adoption.
I have a motion by McGuire.
I'll second.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
Can I say something before we go? And Kristen's on there. It looks like you started with 3,000 riders and ended with 3,200, right? 3,225, so you've had a good increase. Just to say that looks like it's been positive.
Are you going to go through the annual report then, Kristen?
Oh, yes. I was waiting for the approval of the first item.
Yep. The first item has been approved.
Okay, great. So next we have the annual report. So this is something that we present to the county board every year. It's sort of your statistics of how CCRS is doing. So first we have the expended funds. You'll see that for our state fund grant that we went just a little over $200,000. And then for the federal, we expended that amount in the first two quarters, which is typical for our operations. You'll see that our total expended grant funds was a little over $350,000, and that is 44% of our allocated grant amount. This is a big drop from usual years. We usually expend about 65%. The reason we did not expend as much out of these grants is because we are waiting on our CARES Act grant to cover a lot of the COVID and operations expenses instead of using our usual state and federal grants. I would also like to note, in the financial section of the annual report, there was a misreporting there. The total remaining grant funds was $451,532. I have sent a revised version to be sent in the consent agenda. That was my mistake there. So that will be changed there. If you look at the next slide.
Kristen, what's that number going to be changed to? Sorry, this is Diane. What's that number going to be changed to so I can mark my sheet here?
Sure. The total remaining grant funds was $451,532 instead of the
$302,763. Okay, so this is current. Yes, I've given you guys current ones.
Thank you.
And again,
what page is that on?
It should be the last page, or the second page, sorry, of the annual report. And the fiscal section, and then the total remaining grant fund should be the far right column.
Gotcha.
All right, so next we have CCRS service. As you know, we have not changed our service hours at all, even during COVID. We have been fare-free as of March 18th through the pandemic. And luckily, CARES does cover that lost revenue, so that will not hurt our service in any way. And our fares have remained the same in the past fiscal year. If you look at the service performance, you will see that the third and fourth quarter has not increased as the ridership has tended to increase the last 3 years. All of this can be attributed to COVID and no other reason. If you look at the efficiencies, though, they have remained about the same, but you'll see that our mileage and hours have dropped off as well, and that medical trips have become the primary instead of employment. That could also be attributed to COVID, where some people may have lost their jobs and don't need those employment trips right now. If you look at the service performance graph on the next slide, you'll see that traditionally CCARD service ridership has increased, but we have experienced a drop-off since March. Again, that can be attributed to COVID. But interestingly, if you look at the next slide, if you're familiar with CCARS, you know that we have a fixed route service in Rantoul. That service has actually increased in usage. This can be attributed to the fact that the Rantoul factories actually started increasing their hiring during the pandemic with an increased need of for their operations. So that led to higher use of the fixed route during the pandemic. So you'll see an increase there. We were sending a second bus behind the usual fixed route bus to increase to maintain social distancing. So that was not creating as much of a risk for the drivers and the passengers. Of course, our demand response also dropped off. That dropped off significantly. This was a service that was primarily used for seniors to get to medical trips. So that makes sense that the that the demand response trips would drop off. next, we have the denial rate. Again, if you look at the chart there, our denials dropped off again. The denials have to do with our demand response, so that's you calling and scheduling a ride. Since people are not wanting to take trips as much right now, the denials have dropped, but also so has the demand response usage. Next, we'll see that the fiscal year 20 had 31,535 riders. That is a 1% increase from the last fiscal year. So even with COVID impacting our services, we did have an increase in ridership. The average trip per day, as I mentioned, that correlates with the drop-off in use of the demand response and the deviated fixed route. So those increased and decreased, as I had mentioned. The main trip type is employment, so that is at 33%, and then medical, that is the same as how it was last year for the main trip type, but there were also an increase in social types at the beginning of the year, which is a good indicator that people were using CCARS for not just medical employment, they were using it for other ways of their life, but again, the social trips significantly dropped off or stopped at all as of right now. The Lyft usage was slightly greater than last year, and we had a greater increase in the number of passengers over 70. That has to do with our informal agreement with a couple of senior service living facilities in Rantoul. And we had a 7% increase in the total registered riders. Next, we have the vehicle inventory. As of right now, we currently have 15 vehicles. We received 3 14-passenger vehicles on June 19th, which is very exciting. We have them all stripped in CCARS decals and ready to go, I think, at the end of this month. So by getting that, we had have an increase in our inventory, of course. That was through the Illinois Consolidated Vehicle Program. We had applied for those vehicles back in 2017, and we are just receiving them now. And next, in the next year, we are anticipating that we'll get 4 new buses from the competitive funding that we'd applied for, the 5339B, and we are hoping to get that this fiscal year, and that will be 4 replacement buses with 1 expansion. Next, as you know, we have a service contract with the Village of Rantoul, and they pay a certain amount to us annually, which increases by 1%. This expires in October, so we will be in discussions with Rantoul to start that new service contract within the next month. This is very beneficial because anytime we get a contract with a nonprofit agency, this always counts as a guaranteed local match, which helps us better expend down our grant funds. Next, for ideal future implementations, we hope to expand service hours. These are all implementations we had hoped to do pre-COVID. With that going on right now, we're not sure about this. Having more deviated fixed routes, like we have in Rantoul, so stay in Mahomet instead, or not instead, at also. And then implementing punch cards, and then free trips for veterans. This is something that MTD includes in their dash pass that we haven't before, so we are looking at implementing that relatively soon. And I think that's it for the annual report.
Very good.
Hi, this is Chris.
Okay, Chris.
Did I ask, have you mentioned about the possibility of free rides for veterans with Mr. Brad Gould there of our Veterans Commission?
I have spoken with him before about the trip. But not specifically about free trips to veterans. I've mostly worked with him on coordination.
I encourage you to kind of pass along this good news. I think that'd be something that they'd like to pass along to their folks. And
absolutely. He's in the same building.
thank you for considering, for doing that.
Just saw him yesterday.
Okay, any more discussion?
We don't have a motion yet.
Do we need approval of this, Kristen?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Okay, can we get a roll call?
Well, I need a motion and a second first, please.
I'll make motion.
I'll second it.
And there's okay. Only four of us. It looks like you're doing everything.
Now can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
All right, we're on to the approval of the vehicle lease agreement. Kristen, you're up again.
So the vehicle lease agreement it does have a set timeline for how long it goes, but it really is only updated when we acquire new vehicles. As I mentioned in the annual report section, we just acquired three new buses, so this is just adding that information into the vehicle lease agreement that MTD is allowed to use the county's vehicles and outline the specific contract numbers and the bins and everything like that. So MTD pays us $1 a year to lease the vehicles, and the agreement only changes that we added those buses, that four buses we had disposed of and don't use anymore and are not on the property anymore, those have been removed. And then we also added FTA uniform administrative requirements. This is something that was directed by our auditor, and this requirement is mostly for MTD, not the county. But this is something that MTD already follows. It's just something our auditor requested we include in our agreement.
So moved.
We have a motion by McGuire.
Second by Rosales.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
All right, Kristen, is that all you have?
I have one more thing.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
so
sorry.
We are looking to update our intergovernmental agreement. As you may remember, we actually did this in April. Our auditor for the FTA and IDOT requested that we needed to add one small thing to our intergovernmental agreement. So this is the same intergovernmental agreement you approved in April, but with that small change, it is the FTA requirement that I mentioned in the vehicle lease agreement before this. We're just directed to add it in any agreement that we have with MTD. They follow this administrative requirement. Again, this is more of a requirement for MPD than the county, but it changes nothing about the way MPD operates, because as a STA grantee themselves, they already follow this. So we are merely adding it to appease our FDA auditor. Oh, and one other thing to add. Yesterday, I changed the resolution to reflect that the county executive will approve and sign the resolution, not the county board chair.
Ooh.
Was there a reason for that, Kirsten?
As directed by the county executive.
Okay, just wondering. That's interesting.
This is Chris. I am confused by that, and I'd like to hear from some of the other board members whether they think this is proper.
First, we have to move it, and then we have to second it, and then we can discuss it.
We need a motion before we can have discussions, so let's get that done.
And this is Chris. I will second.
Yeah, Chris, we got to vote in favor, and I got to do a roll call, right?
No,
we need discussion now, if we're going to have discussion.
Okay, the discussion is that ever since the new form of government took place, there has been a precedence given to the county exec. I had a conversation with Sixto Sotomayor, and he indicated that he had changed the bylaws because of the fact that he believes that the county exec is the presiding officer of the county, not the county board chair. And with this last lawsuit that Darlene has placed upon the county board, will diminish altogether the responsibilities of the board chair. So we were cut like two-thirds of the responsibilities that the board chair used to take. That has been cut about two-thirds. I have about a third left, and that's regarding appointments, signatures, and representation of the county board and the representation of the county. So that has happened since day one that I took office.
So repeat your responsibilities again.
Pardon? I didn't hear that.
I said repeat your responsibilities again.
Oh, responsibilities are but a handful. It's just very few. They have been diminished. Pius and Patsy had full power, and that has been diminished. There was a committee, a transitional committee, that it was a bipartisan committee put together, and Darlene was part of that. Steve Summers was part of that. Kyle Patterson was part of that. Pius Weibel was part of that. And I believe there were a few others there. Gordy Holson was also a part of that. And they drafted the report, split the responsibilities between the county exec and the county board chair. And now with this last attempt for total takeover is the lawsuit that is pending.
That would
dissolve the county board chair.
I have a question. Kristen, back to you, because you're the one that's wanting this signed by the proper. If this comes back, that this is not valid based on one signature or the other, can this just be redone? I mean, is this that critical that it has to be hard and fast now? Or if Darlene signs this now and we find out that it should have been Geraldo or both of them, is that something that can be easily rectified?
I think so. That would just require a redone of the resolution. It is important that we do have this intergovernmental signed this month. So we have a working intergovernmental agreement between the county and MPD. I do believe that would just be a simple change in the resolution that we could bring back.
Okay. Really straight out what I'm asking is, if this tends to not be valid, how easy is it to go ahead and make it valid, and MTD's okay with that then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Question is who signs it?
I think they both should sign it too. I like that idea.
All of our resolutions are signed by both Geraldo and Darlene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we can amend it right now to have them both sign it.
You're the committee.
Kristen, would that be
That would be my recommendation, because I usually sign first, then Darlene, and then I believe Aaron signs and files it.
Yep.
That would be consistent with what happens in the highway committee. Kristen, would that be something difficult to do by board time?
No, I can absolutely do that. Not today, but I could absolutely send that out Monday, and that seems like a simple change that makes sense.
Well, we could move it, and then we move it that way, and then it could not go on the consent agenda, and they can.
Or can we amend the motion to include the second signature line?
Someone would have to move it that way.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the resolution to include the second signature line of the county board chair.
I second that, Rosales.
So now we just vote on that.
Okay, it's open for discussion.
Is there a discussion?
Seeing no discussion, let's take a roll call.
I'm sorry, I'd just rather be safe than...
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
I need some coffee.
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
All right, so the amendment passes. Now we need to vote on the original motion as amended.
Any discussion? Can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
So, it is my understanding that that is then on the consent agenda as amended?
Unless somebody wants to have it off.
I think so.
We can ask that it not be on the agenda. Tell them to not put it on the agenda.
When we vote on the items to be put on the consent agenda, you can pull that one off.
Okay. Thank you.
If they would like.
Okay. Thank you. Otherwise, I'd leave it.
Because somebody would have to dissent their vote in order to keep it off the consent.
Yeah.
And I'm just leaving it there.
Leave it there. All right.
Well, it's up to you guys when we get to that.
Okay. Sorry.
Item
was
number 22.
Kind of scattered here a little bit today.
Sounds like Jeff's going to the full board.
You good?
I'm good.
You're up.
You know.
All right. Kristen, anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you, everybody. Have a nice weekend.
Yeah, right, thanks.
Thank you very much, Kristen.
Kristen, yeah, I agree. Hi. Thank you. It's great.
Bye-bye. All right, do we still have Chris and Geraldo on there?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Want to make sure that we're working here.
I just missed the donuts and the coffee.
I know.
They're wonderful.
I can't get them through the phone. Sorry.
He didn't have them delivered?
What is wrong with him? He's in California.
They're super soft.
Surprised he didn't deliver them himself.
Oh, golly. Okay, now we're on to Highway Department, item number 13. Petition requesting resolution approving appropriation of funds from the County Bridge Fund for Philo Township 20-19-103-00-BR. This is a petition from Brian Meharry to replace a culvert. You'll see the map there. The culvert is located on First Street, which is a heavily traveled roadway. It's in very poor shape. We're basically replacing in kind as far as the size of the culvert goes, because that's not an issue, but we're taking out a rusted out corrugated metal pipe, and he'll be replacing it with an 8x5 concrete box culvert. The total cost is estimated at $31,200. And I would ask for your approval of that petition and resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by McGuire, second by Michaels.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, can we get a roll call?
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
All right, moving on. Item 14, petition request and resolution approving appropriation of funds for Raymond Township 20-211-0100BR. Hank Lewis from Raymond Township is requesting a culvert be replaced. Total cost is $25,850. You see, the culvert is located about a mile north of the South County line, just south and west of Broadlands. Currently, there is a box, and right next to the box is an oval pipe. Just been kind of mishmashed together over the years. We are replacing those two items with a single 12x3 box culvert. And like I said, the total cost $25,850.
Motion. I move.
Motion by Michaels.
Give him a chance.
Anybody on the phone want to make a second?
Second. Rosella.
We want a California second.
You know, it's only 7:30 over here.
Come on.
Talk about a wake-up call.
Any discussion? Seeing none, can we get a roll call?
McGuire.
Yes.
Geraldo.
Yes.
Michaels.
Yes.
Store.
Yes.
Cohort.
Yes.
All right, item number 15 is a petition requesting a resolution approving appropriation of funds. Sydney Township 20-21 or 241000OOBR. Sydney Township is requesting the replacement of a culvert, John Chestnut. Total estimated cost $11,016. That's a pretty good estimate, isn't it? Real mm-hmm. close. It's because the pipe's already been purchased and we kind of know what it's going to cost. So this is a replacement in kind of a 48-inch corrugated metal pipe, which is rotted out. We're replacing it with a 48-inch steel pipe, which will have longevity of a lot longer than any of us will have to worry about. And I would request your approval of that petition and resolution.
So moved, Rosales.
All right. Second, McGuire.
Been moved and second, open for discussion. Seeing none, can we get a roll call?
McGuire.
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
All right, the next item is our annual resolution appropriating county motor fuel tax funds for Kuats 20-00000OOES. Every July, Kuats sends us a bill for our part of being in the Metropolitan Planning Organization. The bill this year is for $33,545.40. And this is the resolution authorizing and appropriating those funds so we can go ahead and pay our Kuats dues. So I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
Rosales.
Where's Chris at?
I this is Chris. I'll second that.
Keep you on your toes.
Any discussion? All in favor? Roll call.
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
All right. Item number 17. This is a resolution appropriating $113,993.61, a very exact amount from the county motor fuel tax funds. This is a project that's been done for quite a few years, but we finally have all the final bills in from the state, so we knew what the total project cost amounted to. The bid of this project was back in, I think, 2014, so it's been a long time coming. The bid was, the estimate was $7 million on this job, and the bid back then was $7,750,000. So it was over the estimate, but it was awarded and built. So we're, when all the bills came in, we found that we're $113,993.61 short of our appropriation for that project. The project's been paid, but we just need to make sure that we're following that with an appropriate appropriation.
So moved.
Second, Michaels.
Open for discussion. Chris?
Should I get in some?
Okay, seeing none, let's get a roll call.
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Cohort?
Yes.
All right, item number 18, resolution awarding county bridge funds for 20-0008700BR. We had this bid opening this week. We did not update the resolution in the packet because our estimate on this job was $71,125. We only received two bids on this project, which is really low for a typical bridge project. And the low bid was $110,675.
Wow.
So my recommendation would be that we do not award it at this time and we rebid it in the future when I guess the contractors are so busy right now. We just, Deuce and White Construction both bid. Deuce was $110,675 and White was $123,750. And typically when we do bridge projects, these are the two contractors that are on the high side of all the bids. And they're the only ones that showed up to bid. So I would suggest we do not award, but I think we need to make a motion to that effect, that we do not award this contract and try to do it at a time in the future.
This is Chris, and I'll go ahead and make that motion.
I'll second that, Michaels. Yeah, that's nuts.
This is Chris again. Madam Chair, yes.
Yes, Chris.
Jeff, why do you think, do you have any idea why there was such a large discrepancy, or is that something that you guys are, intend to look into? Or can you tell from the bid contract, bidding?
Typically, these two contractors that bid on this are always high. I don't think either one of these has done any work for us in quite some time. Usually we have a couple other contractors that bid on these types of projects, but they are, well, tied up. One of them's totally tied up with all the I-74 work because they got the Mattis bridges. So they weren't able to bid because they don't have time. And the other one, a couple days before we bid this, there was a bid in Vermilion County, and he picked up $1.1 million worth of bridges over there that have to be done this year. So he told me he didn't have time to bid on it either. So I was hoping that this was a good fall project for somebody because they actually have to be down in the water, and with the water levels low, this would be kind of a easy wrap-up project for them. But apparently there's so much work out there that that our normal contractors were not able to bid on this project.
Chris, you need to remember that the construction fields have been part of the essential workers, so they've been going nonstop. That's not a industry that has slowed down, backed off, or probably been affected by the COVID as much as others.
No.
But that's a good
thank
point.
You.
That's a good
One more question. Will the bridge be safe enough for use until it can be rebid? Over.
Yes, it's what we're doing is we have exposed steel piling on this bridge, which IDOT has recommended that we do not continue to build exposed steel piling bridges because the pilings will rust. So we're trying to go back to some of the bridges that were built in the 80s where they used exposed steel piling and encasing those piling so that they don't rust and cause us problems. We're not having any severe problems with this bridge at this time, but we're trying to prevent that from happening.
Thank you.
Yep.
But I think it's a good question because the bridges are doing in 74 will take a couple of years, right? I mean, they're going to stay busy for some time, right? You know.
Yeah, and that's start construction.
Yeah.
And Halverson out of Springfield. And those are two bidders that we typically have on bridge projects. So Stark built the two bridges up on Dewey Fisher Road this year, but we got those bid early enough where they got to do them before they moved on to the I-74 work. So we'll have to see where the bridge bids come in next year. Hopefully they're not so busy that they won't be able to bid on our stuff for like projects. We intend to try to bid our projects for next year, like during the fall and winter, so that if we need to, we can revamp and see what we're going to do. I don't want to try to bid them like the month before we want to start them. There is one project down between Sedoris and Ivesdale, which is a federal aid job, and we don't have a lot of control of when that one is bid, so it will actually be bid in the spring. So we'll just see where the bids come in on those. But yes, they're talking about, I talked to Kensel Garnett, who's the district engineer down in Paris a couple days ago, and he said next year there's $80 million worth of work being done at the interchange. The following year there's $100 million worth of work being done. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So that could very well dry up our ability to get good prices. We'll just have to see what happens.
Stark also, if I'm not, Stark also has part of that new sports complex in Rangel. I think the asphalt, for some reason, is sticking in my brain. But they've also got some work up there, and that's supposed to be done by the spring, so they're going to be backed up big time because they've got some of that work.
Right.
Well, aren't they doing the bridges along here, too? And
they're doing the bridge over Market Street and over the railroad tracks, but I don't know who got that bid.
Oh.
But that's going to be closed down here. What is it? Is it already closed?
They're working on putting poles up to do the lights, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the bonding money is a really, really good thing for everybody, but it's just like I've always said, bonding money is great, but the problem is you get this big spike in money that's available to everybody, and the contractors don't have the personnel available to deal with that spike. So we need to be, you know, flat somewhere up here instead of spiking and then coming back down,
right,
and spiking and coming back down. But so we'll see.
About scheduling work, and that's almost impossible.
It's tough
with the government.
Yeah. Right. The weather is an issue.
It is. It's difficult.
Down the road.
The tradespeople, there's only so many of them out there, to be very honest with you. Carpenters that do bridge work and that kind of work are kind of in short supply right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought that up before.
So they can't really expand their workforce that much.
Mm-hmm.
Push the kids in the trade.
Yeah,
classes.
The skills aren't there.
Mm-mm. So.
Okay, any more discussion? Get a roll call.
McGuire?
Yes.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Store?
Yes.
Hillard?
Yes.
All right, the last thing on the agenda is just a quick budget discussion because my budget was due and I had my meetings with Tammy and Darlene a couple weeks ago, and the budget hearing is coming up, obviously, where these will be talked about, and they don't really, so they've changed the way they did things years ago, not even that many years ago, you know, the department head would talk about their budget at the budget hearing, and now Tammy just does it on our behalf, so I always like to have a discussion at the committee level so that at least you're more aware of what's going on than than you would be based on the budget hearing. I will be at the budget hearing to answer any questions, but I don't get to do the presentation. So I put down some highlights here for our 2021 budget. Our 083, that's our highway funds that we get the property tax revenue for, basically our personnel and equipment and our day-to-day operations. We are still continuing to put money into the building maintenance sinking fund. We've been doing that for, this will be our fourth year, I think, of doing that. So that's kind of a set aside from the highway fund, because at some point we're going to have to do something major to this building, and we don't want to have to rely on trying to find the money when we need to do it. If we need a new roof or we need a new HVAC system or something of that magnitude, we're putting money away so that we have that available for us. The equipment replacement, and this is a general list of some of the things that we're looking at replacing in 2021. A road saw for cutting the roads open when we do our culvert projects. A boom mower, which is a big deal for trying to get behind all of our guardrails and do all the mowing that we need to do during our maintenance in the summertime. A tracked skid steer. We've been doing a lot of ditch work and cleaning. We have a rubber tired skid steer, which doesn't do very well down in the ditches. It does great running across pavement and working around the shop, but it doesn't do as much good down in the ditches. An asphalt patching hot box, and what I mean by that is it's literally a box that keeps your cold patch warm during the winter months, so that when they go to put it into the holes, it's not just a lump of what looks like black coal that's very hard. We're looking for a new 4x4. We're short on those. During this COVID pandemic, we've been allowing the maintenance workers to take a vehicle home so that we don't have to all have to convene here every morning and afternoon to check in and check out. So we've noticed that we definitely have a shortage in vehicles that are available. And an asphalt roller, we're doing a lot more asphalt work. Not big time asphalt work, but patches over the top of culverts and those types of things when we're cutting roads open. And we have a small used asphalt roller, but we need a little bit bigger one to do some of the work we're doing. And then the 083-062, that's that sinking fund that the money comes out of the highway fund into. I had originally thought we shouldn't budget in that because we don't really have anything scheduled. Tammy suggested, why don't you just put $100,000 in there in case something comes up? Then you don't have to go and do a budget amendment and all that stuff if there were, you know, if you were to find an issue with the building during the year. So we went ahead and put in $100,000 just in case we have a need for that money for something that arises that we didn't know about. The 084-060, that is our bridge fund. We do have quite a few bridges scheduled for next year, but you know, we just had that conversation about whether or not that's going to be viable for us. I sure hope it is. The High Cross Road, which is just north of Walmart, about 2 miles down there by the wooded area, that's a $1.2 million job. We're using Township Bridge Program and local money to match that with. The Broadlands Road, so this would be north of Broadlands on County Highway 13. There's a triple box down there that is in very poor shape. It's not posted yet, but it's deteriorated pretty well. That's a $400,000 bridge replacement. The Sedoros to Isdale Road, there's one just to the west of the curves going out of Sedoros towards Isdale over the Kaskaskia, and that's about a $1.25 million job, but that's federal dollars. So we have to pay 20% of that, so we pay about $250,000 of the $1.25 to replace that bridge. And then we got a couple of bridge repairs that we've been working on, that we've got some beams that are rusting where they sit on the seats of the bridges, and we need to get in there and get those taken care of and cleaned up and put new bearings on those bridges. And then we have this demonstration project that I've been working with Brad Clemens on. to do a press break tub girder bridge, which is new to this area. That's about a $300,000 job, and we're splitting that 50-50 with the township, and just using local money on it since it is a demonstration project. And I spelled that wrong. I put demonstration. I noticed that now that I'm reading it. The 085060, that is our motor fuel tax funds. The revenues in the old money, the old 19 cents, are down about 30% based on people not driving as much as they were before the pandemic set in. And I don't know that that will totally ever recover, because I think people are going to be working more from home even after the pandemic, you know, is over. So we may see a little downtick in the motor fuel tax funds for, you know, for the rest of the time. But we have the new 19 cents that went into effect last July, so that's been on going on for a year now. So if you add those two together, we're actually up 20% in total revenue. But it was anticipated that we were going to be up 68%. So that difference there is due to people not traveling as much because of the COVID. There's $1 million budgeted in the motor fuel tax fund for a road project, the road project going from 130 over to Sydney. We're going to use the rebuild grant, which is the fund at the bottom there, to do that. But I'm still hesitant, because that's bonding money, whether or not that's truly going to come in the time fashion that it's supposed to. So I want to make sure we have a contingency plan if that money isn't available to us. But it has come in this year. We've already received two payments from that capital bonding bill. So, and then we have $1 million in road and bridge maintenance. That's the money that we use to oil and chip and rock and buy salt and do all the things that we do to maintain the roads on a given year. The 103060 fund, that is our federal aid matching fund. We have $25,000 budgeted in that to cover a local match for a federal safety grant. We worked with Rita and her folks over at Kuats and RPC to receive about a $300,000 grant to put together a tool where it will be able to do an analysis of the roadways that we have, and it will actually evaluate a systemic type of safety. So it'll look at roads that have issues, and then it'll say, well, on this roadway you have similar traffic, you have similar alignment, but for whatever reason this road over here you're having crash history and this one you're not. And it'll compare and contrast those things so we can do a better job of knowing where we should be applying for and spending our safety money on our roadways. And the intent is, once that's developed in Champaign County, the reason they gave us the grant is because once we develop it and start using it and kind of are guinea pigs on it, then they will make it available to all counties, and all counties will be able to use this tool. So it should be kind of a neat thing that it's going to be coming out of Champaign County for the rest of the counties in the state, and it might even go nationwide, I'm not quite sure. And the 120060, that's the new fund for the capital expenditures for the Rebuild Illinois grant. So we have to use that money on capital projects, which they have deemed a capital project to be a project that has a minimum 13-year life. We're anticipating $5,774,000 over the 3-year life of the Rebuild Illinois. So we have funds budgeted. The Sydney Road, which we hope to do next year. Right now the plans are about 70 to 80% developed, and we're working on the plats in order to buy the right-of-way to do the Sydney project from Sydney over to 130. So we've got all kinds of money in that project. We've got highway safety improvement dollars. We've got TARP money. We've got federal money. So depending on what the actual estimate and the bid comes in on that project, all those monies will come close to paying for that project, honestly. And it's about a $4.5 million project. But if there's a balance, obviously we're going to need some monies to cover that. So that's what the that bonding money, part of that bonding money, will get used for next year. And that bonding money has to be expended by 2025. So that's what I'm saying about the spike and the back down. They're really pushing us to, you have to spend the money in a certain time frame.
Right.
And if everybody in the state has to spend this money at the same time, it could become difficult to do. And then we're doing the Flatville Road. That's a deck replacement project where we're simply taking off the old deck beams because they have deteriorated. The substructure is in good shape, and we're replacing the deck beams with new deck beams, and that it's about $750,000. So we got a lot of work to do. Hopefully we have the contractors out there available to do the work that we want to do next year. Does anybody have any questions about anything related to that budget discussion or anything else about the highway budget that you'd like to talk about?
I have a question, of course.
Of course.
I know that there were, I believe everybody was given a guideline to cut their budget by certain percentages and stuff. That takes into account here?
That was everybody in the administrative system.
Okay,
we were
great.
Not told we had to cut.
Okay, then no, that's great.
Yep.
The other thing is Rebuild Illinois grant, and I'm not as familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
Your anticipated revenue of 5.7. Do you feel comfortable that that will be received? Because a lot of times money is proposed to be received,
right,
and then you don't receive it. And how will it affect these two projects if we don't? Is that?
We have received two of the installments already.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we have, what is it, 900 and...
$977,000.
So we've received two $977,000. So we have enough money to do those projects.
Okay.
I'm not trying to, as they say, bet on the come with that money.
That's
because that would scare me.
Yeah.
Because I honestly didn't know if we would get it at all. And now we've received two installments.
Right.
So apparently they're having, they're able to sell the bonds, which state of Illinois' current, financial state, I didn't know if they would be able to sell bonds.
Yeah.
And how well they would be able to sell them. But apparently they've done two sales, and we've received the money from them. The townships as well as the county, they're receiving
right.
money as well.
Right. Yeah, that's unusual because a lot of times they say, oh, you're going to get this money and then you don't get
right
any or as much as you thought you were going to get, and then you're stuck in the middle of a project.
Well, when they first passed the new motor fuel tax bill, it was our understanding that we were just going to use the same formula mm-hmm. for the new money as the old money. Well, of course, that's not what the legislation actually said. So we're only receiving 68% in the new money. It's only 68% of what we used to get in the old money. So it's 19 cents and 19 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was getting a dollar here, I'm only getting 68 cents over here.
Right.
So this bonding money is supposed to fill that gap.
Okay.
At least temporarily fill that gap.
Well, that makes sense with your motor fuel
yes.
funds there. Okay.
Yep. So that's what it's for.
Thank you.
It's supposed to make us feel better for a while.
Okay, any more discussion on the budget?
I don't need any kind of approval on that, Madam Chair.
Okay.
It's kind of nice. Your things are hard and fast for the most part.
Yeah.
Most
mm-hmm.
of your stuff is
well, nobody's moving,
physical.
Jim.
Jim, why are you turning the lights off?
It feels good.
You got to... We hit the switch.
We got to move them around.
There you go.
There you go. Just on dancing.
Okay, all the business. Do anybody have anything they want to bring in front of the committee? Seeing none.
Wait. You did hire someone.
Yeah. Would you like to have her come in and we'll
sure.
introduce her?
Sure. I'll go. Can
you bring everybody?
Yeah. Faith, as you may remember, wanted to spend more time with her family. So she left employment with us, and she was our motor fuel tax accountant for the townships and our projects accountant. So we hired a new, July 6th, I believe she started. Pearl is our new accountant. She comes from Vermilion County, but she's wanting to move to Champaign County.
Hello there.
This is Pearl.
Hello.
Hello. Highway Committee.
How are you?
So she's been doing a great job. We're thrilled to have her, for sure.
Very good.
We're starting to get a lot of things cleaned up that needed to be cleaned up.
So. Oh, that's good.
New voice on the phone, huh?
Yes. Voice on the phone.
Yep.
Well, welcome. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming all the way from Vermilion County.
It's a long drive.
It's not that far.
No.
On the 74, really.
Take the back roads.
Just a hard drive. I also, I take back roads.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Just
yeah.
Like, man,
yeah.
We just
nice.
Kind of flip through Penfield and roll on over.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, welcome.
Great.
Right.
Great.
Thank you for joining.
Yeah,
I don't know if someone on the phone wants to say something, too. The chairman's on there.
No, I just thought I missed that last vote. I wasn't quite sure because I'm sort of coming, hearing you guys intermittently a little bit. So I was just wondering, was there a last vote? And did I, when you did a roll call, did I vote?
No, because it was
no.
The budget.
No. We have a new person that we're talking to right now, if you didn't hear properly, and we're just...
Well, what I could say is welcome aboard, and it's always a pleasure to have visitors and new additions to the family.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. You can't see her through the phone, Geraldo. Sorry.
Oh, what was that? Yeah.
I said you can't see her through the phone, but that's all right. Come on by sometime.
Sure,
you can meet her.
I'm pretty sure she's a very excellent addition to the group. So
absolutely.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good.
Okay, there's no chair report, and what we have for the designated items we place on the consent agenda is 8 through...
Should be 9.
7? Mm-hmm. Don't you put the motor fuel
on
there?
Yeah, I guess that is.
Mm-mm.
No?
No,
we'll
that does not consent.
Mm-mm. 8 through, excluding... 12, but we got 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and do we put 20 on there?
No, we don't need 19 or 20.
Okay,
just
so
18.
19 through 19, and as I say, we exclude 12. It don't go on the consent agenda.
All right. Does everybody agree?
Sure.
All right.
Okay. Anything else? If not, we're adjourned.
Great.
Thank you very much, one and all.
Thanks for calling
and
in.
We'll see you next month.
Mm-hmm.
Good talk.
And see our county board members hopefully on Tuesday.
Okay, then we'll be